Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Touchdown, Giants!
You're listening to the Best of the Giants.
And the Giants have won!
A weekly mix of WFAN Sports Radio 101.9's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Over Dable out as Giants head coach. This according to Adam Schefter. I believe it's in multiple spots, but it's just coming in now. During that commercial break, we were alerted to it. I'm just trying to follow through some of the lines here. Now, remember, he was supposed to speak at 1:25. We mentioned this earlier. Here's Schefter. You see him, there on, like we said, with the post on social media. Brian Dable out as the head coach of the New York Giants.
Yeah, and it's the humane thing to do at this point. Others have it. Ian Rappaport. I'm looking at Jordan Schultz. I'm seeing others, obviously, now. It is obviously clearly done. 20-40-1 as the Giants head coach. And, you know, one playoff win, 3+ years, a multitude of ugly, really inescapable in terms of the perception around you or the narrative around you. Fourth quarter collapses. And I think that this is absolutely the right move because you've still not salvaging a season because there's nothing that you can salvage here in terms of wins and losses like a playoff berth. But you've got to at least have a direction and a healthy building. And the tone would have been every time Brian Dable was at the press, was at a microphone, it would have been about him and his job security and the quarterback and all these other things that take away from the overall growth of the other guys on the team. It gives you a jump start on the search for trying to finally end this merry-go-round of nothingness for the Giants. And from a human perspective, we all feel bad. I think Brian Dable's a good dude who tried his best. I think he's an easy guy to have a beer with, yeah. But in terms of being the head coach of the Giants, it simply did not work.
I do feel bad, but this had to happen. It's not anybody's fault. We didn't get him fired. His record got him fired. Just wasn't good enough. End of story. Bottom line. Now, you spin it forward. Okay, do we know who's taking over yet? I'm trying to find this out here. Schefter, the Giants' interim head coach, will be their sixth head coach since 2016. McAdoofus, Spagnuolo, Shurmur, Joe Judge, Brian Dable. So obviously going to be another guy. And then next year, I'm assuming it's going to be Kafka. I would like to have seen Bowen out with Dable as well. And then eventually I want to see Joe Shane out. And that would at least show me that the Giants are headed in the right direction. But this had to happen. It had to happen now. You can't overcome another loss like that. Dable knew it. He was on thin ice to begin with. They blow that fourth quarter lead yet again. It's the fourth time they've done that on the road with a 10-point lead. The third time that they've done it in horrific fashion, whether it be Dallas, Denver, and now Chicago. It can't happen. They had to move on here. And now it begins, BT. Now there is no more Dart Dable. That is officially over.
It is, and rightfully so. But, I mean, really, what a disgrace that Bowen still has a job.
Well, we don't know. Maybe they're going to – we got to take it if it's live, Hoff. I'm sure Hoff is working on trying to figure out what they're going to do here.
Yeah, true. Maybe they will announce – maybe you announce Dable first, and then maybe Bowen obviously filters in throughout the day or trickles in at some point today. But if Shane Bowen is coaching this team against Green Bay – and Brian Dable's been shown the door. That's disgraceful. But we'll just
maybe Bowen will be the interim.
Oh, there's no way in hell that's going to be Kafka.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I mean, but listen, the other thing too is, and I can't prove this, but I feel like maybe, and I wouldn't agree with this, but I'm thinking from the Giants' perspective, like if they had a road game coming up rather than hosting Green Bay coming up this weekend,
yeah,
maybe they kick it down the road one more week. But you cannot have that energy, because think about if Brian Dable's coaching at 1 o'clock against the Packers this Sunday, here come the planes. Here's 30,000 Packer fans. You know, you would think that Dart's not going to play based on the concussion. So you just, it doesn't solve anything immediately. I think it prevents it from making it worse optically. That would have been such an ugly sound and an ugly sight at MetLife. So you had to do it, and now you get a jump start, and now you've got to find basically a miracle worker, because the Giants is one big steep hill, bro. It's not going to be easy.
We all knew it yesterday watching that game, but it doesn't make it any easier thinking about it. Here we are yet again 4 years later. I mean, the guy was a coach of the year in his first year. Coach of the year, first year. Took Daniel Jones to the postseason with a limited roster, and that's putting it mildly. Won a road playoff game and just could never get it turned around after that. Could never get it back on track. Bad year two, worse year three. This was supposed to be the definitive year, and here we are again through 10 games, somehow, inexplicably, even with a young rookie quarterback that shows great promise, still 2-8. It had to be done, but it just sucks that we're here yet again.
It's brutal. Yeah, I feel terrible for Giant fans. You know, I don't know that the Giants would explore this. I would encourage them to maybe do this. Now, you'd have to find the right person. Remember, before Mike Vrabel went to coach the Pats, didn't he jump in to the Browns as like advisory role?
Yeah.
I don't know who that person would be. And listen, the timing sometimes just doesn't work out where there's somebody that you truly value that you would want to bring in. But if you can, you know, and I don't know, maybe it is Belichick maybe the Giants have no interest in hiring Bill Belichick to be their coach, but they bring him in as that wise sage Yoda. Hey, look at the Jedi,
Parcells with the Dolphins.
A little bit. Yeah. Hopefully it goes better now. Yeah, but yeah, right. So along the lines of that thought process, look at our roster, look at the way we function, look at our building, get a sense of what's what, help us get this thing up, you know, and running. And not only do you get a jump start on, you know, having conversations about who you want to hire, ultimately is the coach, but you also get a little bit of a jump start on cleaning this mess up internally, because there's a lot of football to go. This is not two games left.
Yeah.
It's talking 2 months of football.
I know, but the games are irrelevant with seven games.
They are, but it's not irrelevant what happens on the practice field and the meeting rooms and in the building day to day. They're going to be going to work for two more months.
Yeah, but it's
going to
be a whole new, I hope a whole new regime. See, that to me brings the next part of this. Okay, now that Dable had to go today, and he did, and the Giants did the right thing, no question about it. If anything, they gave him more than enough time to get this thing turned around. More than enough time. They were extremely patient. They left this was it. You have more new? Go ahead, Hoff. What'd you just say in my ear?
Yeah, Giants OC Mike Kafka will be the interim head coach, per source.
Okay. I mean, no surprise there. Now, is anybody speaking at 125 still?
Have not been told yet.
Okay, we got to figure that out, and then hopefully it happens during our show. We could take it, or if not, whatever. Evan and Tiki get the sound of it, but obviously breaking news, Brian Dable out, Kafka going to take over here. So then it begs the question, okay, what are you going to do with the defense? Maybe that's less important. For me, this means nothing unless it means Joe Shane is showing the door as well.
He'll be next. I believe he'll be next. But until they do it, I mean, I don't really know.
I'm not saying I need to do it now. I said last week, why delay the inevitable? Let's just rip the Band-Aid off and move on now. Do I need that to happen? It's kind of irrelevant. He's done all he could do. They didn't let him make any moves at the deadline. So there's nothing he's going to do that's going to impact the team any way, shape, or form now or the future. I guess the longer it goes with him still employed, the more concern I have that they aren't going to clean house totally.
Yeah, I do hear you. Trust me, I do. But to me, it's more clerical. That's the way I describe it. Like, at this point, I'm not saying there's no roster moves they're going to have. You'll pick this guy up on waivers or promote that guy from the practice squad. But there's really nothing substantial that's going to happen from now until the end of the season because the trade deadline is over. Now, if you want to see this, what's going to be interesting, the Jets made the mistake years ago where they let McCagnon draft, and then they fired him after the draft here.
Yeah.
You know, so
how dumb can you be?
That's about as idiotic as it gets here. So, and I don't think that the Giants would take the same page from that idiocy. But what they've got to have consistency here because they are very deep into their scouting. Like, I know the Jets have already watched Mendoza play quarterback in person 4 games, and the Giants might not be scouting a quarterback, but they're certainly scouting a lot of players. So you still want some continuity in terms of the preparation for the draft and the offseason. Again, Dable had to go during the season, in my opinion. Less concerned about Shane when he goes, as long as he does, which I think he will at the end of the... Now, if he doesn't, that's a different discussion, and I'll get on the Giants, but I don't need him gone today. I think you had to start with Dable.
I also wonder how much of this decision was based off the fact that Dart got hurt. Again, for me, it would not have been the case, because I know there's a lot of thought, well, he got Dart hurt, blah, blah. To me, it's separate. It's everything else. It's his 4 years in its entirety, specifically the last three, and just the inability to show that he knows how to win games.
Yeah.
You have leads. That's a good thing. Getting leads are good. It's a good thing. And the Giants haven't had enough of them. Then you got to hold on to the leads. You've got to be able to preserve at least some of them. And he just couldn't do it time and time again. And maybe his fate was sealed prior with the Denver game, but maybe it was sealed on that decision to kick a field goal and go up 2 scores as opposed to being aggressive. And it just shows you, when you're insecure or not firm in your standing, maybe you're going to make some decisions that you normally wouldn't make, trying to hang on and see. And obviously it was the wrong decision, kicking the field goal, taking the points, still blowing the game. It just too much here. So the Giants did the right thing moving on from
the table. They did. So we just got the Kafka stuff from Hoff there. I still need an answer on Shane Bowen, because the more I think about this, this is patently offensive that this man has a job and Dable doesn't. Shane Bowen's still employed.
Yeah.
Let that resonate for a second. This guy still has a job. Bowen, the coordinator.
Well, for now, I mean, again, we still don't know.
What the hell are they waiting for? I mean, if you fire Dave, that's why I say stuff is trickling in, you know, and we might get it in 10 minutes, whatever. But Bowen's got to be gone by today. He can't be back out there. How unfair is that?
I agree. Let me just ask you, and this may be semantics here. We knew clearly Kafka could transition and take over. He's a guy that's interviewed many times before for a head coaching job. Not that he could do the job, but at least he's been coaching
easier
long
transition.
Enough. He's been doing it long enough as an OC where it's going to be an easier transition. Is it just as simple as, well, if they move on from Bowen, we have nobody that'll really even come up with a game plan the rest of the way?
If that's the case, then their staff is even worse than I thought. Because, think about this.
Well, the guy who's running the show just got fired, and the guy who's running the defense should have been fired 10 weeks ago.
I just think the optics are awful. I just think, patently offensive. Like, if I'm Dable, I'm like, what? You keeping him? That doesn't really matter. Dable's gone. But if there's nobody in the building that could at least piece together a game plan that makes some sort of sense, then their staff is worse than I thought. Somebody's got to be capable of doing it. That's not the reason you keep Bowen around. And if so, then the Giants are in worse shape than we think.
Does Wink Martindale have a social media? Because you know somewhere he's...
Think he's going to pop in, take a little celebratory lap?
Oh, yeah.
I hope he doesn't.
Probably take some... Yeah, come on. That's what he is, though, Wink Martindale.
Yeah, I would hope... Yeah, I think... I know... Well, he's done some of that, yes, but I would like to think that, you know, when now that Dable's actually gone, I would hope that sensitivity would win out. Like, he's gotten his shots in a little bit because he was gone and Dable wasn't. Hopefully he takes the high road. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. Wink likes taking those shots. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I think it's low class and low brow, but he's done that before.
I'm just saying it. I'd be curious to see what he I feel like there's going to be some kind of comment coming. And it made me think of it because if he were here, you could argue he would have taken over as head coach, and maybe that's an opportunity that he won. Anyway, he's not here. Neither is Brian Dable. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll take a quick break. Come back. Get your reaction to it. Brian Dable out as head coach of the New York Football.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bull Giants.
Well, we got ourselves a busy Monday. Brian Daboll out as head coach, and Joe Shane will remain general manager and will lead the search for a brand new head coach. When we were doing our show on Friday, we talked about how if things go badly in Chicago, wouldn't surprise us if we sat here on Monday afternoon, Monday morning with the firing of Brian Daboll. And the way I described it on Friday is if they let go of the rope, they get blown out. Obviously, that was not the case. It was just a blown lead, a 10-point lead in the middle of the fourth quarter. Ultimately, was it another blown game? Was it the injury to Jackson Dart? Was it the field goal decision from the half-yard line? Was it all of the above? What made today the day? Because I think we all knew Daboll would be fired, but not necessarily that it would happen on Monday, November 10th. In your humble opinion, was it all of those things, none of those things, some of those things that led to today being the moment that they pulled the trigger?
I mean, honestly, I have no idea. I'm not talking to Steve Tisch or John Mara or anyone over there before, prior to this happening. I have no idea the mindset. But if I had to guess, I think it's as simple as losing games you shouldn't. And the Giants have been in position to win games this year, and they found ways to lose them. Part of them is the players not executing good enough or well enough. A part of it is coaching decisions and mismanagement of games. And ultimately, they're sitting at 2-8 when they, not easily, but they should at least be 5-5. You know, they could be that way. If you throw the Saints game, the Broncos game, and then this past weekend, the Giants should be 500. And when you're that performing that far below what the expectation is, then something's got to break. That it's as simple as that to me.
How you feeling about this, Sean, host of multiple Giant podcasts?
I got to be honest, I'm not happy celebrating this. I feel just very sad today as a Giant fan. Like, if you were to tell Giant fan Sean in 2022 that Brian Daboll was not going to get out of year four and that was going to be it, it's sad to me. And it's also sad to me just because looking forward, now that we've gone through this many different head coaches, I hope they get it right. I'm excited about the future of Jackson Dart. But as I sit here right now, I have lost faith in this organization to get a head coach hire right. I just have. That's how I feel. And I hope I'm wrong, but I can't celebrate this today. I'm very sad this didn't work out.
Yeah, and I feel for, I'm the same. Like, I feel for Daboll. I think Daboll is a good head coach, a good coach.
I agree.
I'll put it that way. In fact, I know he's a good coach. He hasn't been a good head coach, and it's not all his fault. But it just you are what the record says you are, right? It's the cliche that football teams and players and organizations live by, thanks to Bill Parcells. But I feel for Dave, so I can't sit here and celebrate this like this is now we're going to be fantastic. You don't know that. They could hire a bum, and they could suck in the coming years. You have no idea. He could be worse. And so it's never a fun day when a head coach gets fired, even though people like to celebrate it because they're, I don't know, they like negativity in or around other people because it makes their lives feel better. I have no idea. If for some reason, people celebrate these type of days. I tend not to.
20-40-1 is the record of Brian Daboll in the 61 games he coached. Remember, he began 6-1. So since the 6-1 start where, I mean, he couldn't have began his tenure any more excitingly with that go-for-2 moment against Tennessee, they are 14-39. Since the start he got off to.
Right, and that's why he's not head coach of the New York Giants anymore. I mean, I don't know what we shouldn't argue about why he got fired. This record tells you everything that needs to know. I think he's been a good coach. He won Coach of the Year. He did well with Jackson Dart, him and Shane and that coaching staff. But ultimately, you don't win in this league, you get fired.
Let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019, the number. Tom in Howell, New Jersey. What's up, Tom?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
So I've got a point like this. If you just hear me out for a second, I think at the end of the day, Tiki alluded to something. You know, the roster, even if you want to argue how good it was winnable games with that roster. I just want to point to two things specifically. The game in which DeVito came in, you know, Daboll didn't let him throw a pass. You know, the game with
Wilson,
obviously yesterday against the Jets. And, you know, these types of things to me are indictment that he just didn't have his backups ready to go when they were called upon. And some of the decision-making, you know, the Denver game, obviously, the 3rd and 5, the 4th and 1 yesterday, throwing a 20-yard pass down the field instead of just running for the first down. To me, my theory is it all boiled down to one thing, which was he was just too concerned about developing that quarterback that he kind of just, like, let everything else go. And once that came out of place, whether it be DeVito coming in as a backup, whether Wilson coming in as a backup, kind of just lost his way because that was like his identity was building up for this quarterback. And that one sack's gone. The defense is gone. You know, everyone talks about Tay Banks. Every time I'm listening to the radio, Carl Banks is always saying it's technique. He's right there in position. He's just not getting his head turned around. To me, that's not ability. That's just a little bit of coaching. You know, he's running with these guys. He's not getting blown past these guys. Just a little bit of coaching technique, but it feels like once plan A, which was centered around the quarterback and the offense, once that went away and you got the backups in now, whether it's in a different week or in game, everything just fell apart and he just lost his sense. Yesterday, he holds 2 timeouts, 45 seconds left on that 3rd down, and you don't call timeout for a huge 3rd and 10. He walks home with 2 timeouts. What's he doing?
Yeah, no, you can't. Game management is what he's alluding to, is something that he struggled with. And you talk about that Jet game from 2 years ago, the Tommy DeVito let him throw chant game that I was calling.
Yeah.
That was just bad. And I get that Tommy was young. He was a rookie, right, that year, and hadn't really spent any time with the starters. There are ways to win games, and he didn't get better at doing that.
You know what's crazy? What I find weird, and it shows you that first impressions aren't always the right impressions. Our first impression of Brian Daboll as a coach was unbelievable. He showed stones that day. We were calling him Daballs for the decision he made against Tennessee. And it set the tone for that season, and it set the tone for how we perceived Brian Daboll.
Yes.
He had a very difficult time ever measuring up to that ever again.
No,
because
you're
feels like a lot of the decisions, including the Tommy DeVito one, including yesterday kicking that field goal at the half-yard line, kind of was the opposite.
Well, it became, who are you? Like, what is your identity? What do you want to stand for?
Right.
And it fluctuated too many times. And ultimately, it causes your downfall because your players don't know what to expect, so they're not prepared for the moment, and ultimately, you fail at it. Think about Dan Campbell, who is unapologetically aggressive. And fourth downs, he goes for it from, I think, more than anybody in the NFL. And sometimes it backfires on him. But he's consistent with who he is and how he's going to be. And you come to expect it. And so in a critical moment, the Detroit Lions players aren't sitting there going, I wonder what our head coach is going to do. They're going, all right, we're going for it. Strap up, boys. You know, tighten them chin straps. Let's go.
And we had no idea with this guy.
We just didn't have an idea.
No, you're right. Like, at times you're like, he's aggressive, even if you disagree with it. Sometimes he's too conservative, even if you disagree with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he never backed up that first impression we had from him in that week one game against Tennessee.
Right, which we all loved.
Oh, everybody, yes, to a T. Ben is in Stamford, Connecticut. Hey, Ben.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
So just three quick points. The Giants have been playing football for, I believe, 101 years. They have fired their coach mid-season four times, two of them by John Mara in the last eight years. So he needs to take a hard look at what's going on there. Just in terms of what we might do next, I want nothing to do with Gruden, who I think is an absolute buffoon, who's suing the league. And he obviously loves Jackson Dart, I think in part, so he can get this job. I want nothing to do with Belichick. My choices would be, if he gets whacked, I would take Stefanski. And I would also love Doug Peterson, who seems like a grown-up, I'm surprised they don't have a statue for him in Jacksonville at this point. I mean, with what he did.
It fell apart. It fell. I hear what you're saying, Ben, but it fell apart. I agree with you on Gruden. Belichick, I want no part of either. Look, they got to go through the process, and it's going to be a long and crappy one because, honestly, there aren't any McVay babies out there anymore. There aren't any of those.
I like that term.
There aren't any more of those kids that are from the Shanahan tree or the McVay tree that you're just like, he's the next guy. And so it's going to be challenging. And so are you going with an experienced veteran head coach because you have a team that feels talent-wise ready to win? Or are you going to bring someone in here who is so scheme-oriented and creating success that way, like Kyle Shanahan, even if he's young and inexperienced, that it just excites you and it excites the young nature of this team?
As a dopey historian, I'm going to say this is the third midseason firing because the first one in 1930 was kind of odd because they had co-coaches at the time, and then Steve Owen took over, and he ended up keeping the job for 24 years.
Yeah, Steve Owen was a player, too. He's a player coach.
Yeah, I almost don't want to count that one.
It doesn't count, and I know he's trying to take a shot at John Mara, which is a backhanded BS way to go about it. The game has changed. The NFL has changed from 100 years ago, and so you fire coaches because they're not performing. 50, 60 years ago, you just kept your job because you could keep your job. It just is what it is.
It's funny you said McVay babies. The other time that people forget about, I guess if you're older, you don't forget about it, where they fired a coach midseason was Bill Arsparger was fired in the middle of the 1976 season. And you know who replaced him? John McVay, who I think is Sean's grandpa, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it is. There's actually been four midseason firings that people don't acknowledge.
Yeah, but the 1930 one, I don't count.
But nobody ever acknowledges that Jim Fassel was fired in the middle of the season,
but
coached to the end of the year.
You're right. Does that, the only reason I wouldn't count it is because there wasn't a replacement. You know what I mean? Like, you're right, he was fired in the middle of the season.
Right.
But he kept coaching. In these other cases, Steve Spagnuolo took over. Before that, John McVay took over. So even though you're technically right, I don't know. He still coached. So it's almost like it continued.
Season. Diana Rossini reporting that no other changes are expected, at least for now, with Shane Bowen remaining the DC and Joe Shane remaining the general manager. Here's an interesting tweet from Connor Hughes, BT. You ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Connor Hughes, who covers both the Jets and Giants for SNY.
Really good job. Love him. It's good.
Quote, the feeling internally I'm told, again, I'm reading Connor Hughes' tweet, is that the Giants believe the talent is better than the results have shown, evident by four losses despite holding 10-point leads. That, plus the Jackson Dart injury, called forth the change. He says, agree or disagree, that's how they currently view it. Now, when you hear that, I mean, when I hear that, I think Joe Shane's coming back, and that's a major problem. That is a major problem. I shouldn't jump to conclusions, but I hear that.
Mm-hmm.
That to me as well, the talent's good, mm-hmm. and we heard about how much they loved the draft last year. Brian Daboll is at blame, and he should have been fired. Joe Shane is, if not more, culpable for the Giant issues here over the last 4 years.
As you were reading that, I was kind of thinking the same thing. Well, I would not bring him back, and I do not believe that they will. When I hear that, I'm like, okay, is this the early plant the seeds, let it get out there, the messaging this, and, you know, hey, look, get a little separation. Not my fault. I gave you a decent roster. We think we're better than we are. Not my fault you didn't finish these games. Yeah, that would be ridiculous. I mean, you know, when we had and we've had these conversations a million ways sideways before it actually happened today, but one of the things that I remember saying a while ago now was, somebody please present to me what Joe Shane has done that like delineates his work or separates himself more so than from Daboll? I don't know what it is. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, because if it wasn't for Daboll, I mean, at least let's say this about Daboll. If Daboll didn't stand on the table and pound the desk for Jackson Dart, I don't know if Joe Shane's taking him.
Right.
So I never understood this. Well, Shane's done a good job and get rid of the coach. They both stunk.
Also, who had the most successful season? Of the 4 years, what was the most successful season?
Yeah, well, listen, it was with a roster that Joe Shane had zero influence on year one. So I've said that as well.
The most success they had was year one. That was all coaching. Crappy roster. That head coach took the team in the postseason and won a playoff game.
Yeah.
Joe Shane had nothing to do with that. So if you're going to look at, and then to your point, Dart, we've gone over this before, year one, year four, I can make an argument for Daboll over Shane. Daboll had to go, don't get me wrong. But you can't, they can't make an argument for Joe Shane. It's got to be over. So stay tuned for that. That'll obviously be the theme the rest of the way here. All right, let's get to that John Gruden cut that we teased before. So this is Gruden. Hoff, do you have the exact, it was before the draft of Jackson Dart, right?
I think it was April 24th.
April of 2025.
April 24th, that's for sure.
Okay, all right, let's listen to Gruden and Jackson Dart.
I want you to change your playing style.
Yes, sir.
I think it's reckless, I think it's careless, and I think it's dangerous. You're the only guy that can't play with a sore right shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't play without you. You've come out of some games now.
Right.
You had your ass knocked off, and you sucked it up and went back in the game. But talk to me about some of these hits. Why won't you go out of bounds? Why won't you go down?
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. It's fucking crazy. And you're going to be in that concussion protocol tent. And I'm going to be holding the game plan going, where the hell is Dart at? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Write it down. Evel Knievel. That's who you are. You're going to jump over a freaking canyon out there in Utah. Is that what you're going to do in your offseason?
Yeah. Can you
this
spell
This is insane.
Knievel? How do you spell Knievel?
K-N-E-V-I-E-L. Knievel. I mean, you did it at USC. You haven't changed. Why haven't you changed?
Yeah, it's definitely something that when I watch back and in those moments, you know, I definitely are like, all right, like, that's not smart. It's not a smart hit to take. So that's definitely something I'm going to, you know, get better at. But, you know, in my mind, you know, I'm always trying to be plus two. And
plus what?
Plus two.
What's that?
Anytime you get hit with contact, I want to fall 2 yards forward.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's all great, but not anymore.
Yes, sir.
How great was that?
That
that's
was
courtesy,
really good.
Courtesy of Barstool. So I think Giant fans are going to hear that. I know I heard it and I was like, bring him in. Bring him in, man. Let's go. Well, BT, he's doing all and saying all the things before they even happened at the NFL level.
Yep.
It was predictable from Gruden. And even though he knows that it could be successful, he said, no, not anymore. We got to keep you healthy. That's, to me, a coach that knows what they're doing. I'm not trying to knock Brian Daboll in this regard, but you couldn't nail it more than Gruden did with Dart.
That was very entertaining, but on the scale of like relevance, it means nothing to me. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it's so easy to do what John Gruden just did. He's sitting in an air-conditioned room with a grease board. Hey, look at the schematics. And if you run, you're going to get hurt. You're going to be in the 10th. And you're the only guy who can't play with a bad shoulder. John Gruden's not coaching. So if John Gruden is down, let's say he's coaching the Giants next year, and the Giants are down 17-3, and they're one bad drive away from getting blown out, you telling me John Gruden's not running RPO to keep his team in the game, and eventually, if he's hanging from, if his job is eventually in doubt, to maybe save his ass? I think that he's right conceptually. Like, John, what John said is spot on. It makes sense. But when you're in the moment coaching and you're trying to win, it's a lot easier to say it on Barstool than it is when you're the coach of the Giants.
Yeah, but I don't think he would be reckless with Jackson.
I don't think the Dable was reckless yesterday.
Me neither. I'm just saying that he would... I think he would get the message across to Jackson Dart more so than Brian Daboll. And I'm not blaming Daboll for Dart's injury. That should have nothing to do with his firing. It should have nothing to do with his firing. But it was part of the reason that the Giants were having success only because of the RPO and Jackson Dart's ability to run the football. Nothing else was working. Daboll couldn't figure it out. That is proof. For the last three seasons, forget year one, the last three seasons could not figure it out. Even with Russell Wilson outside of that one game, they could not score points. The only way this offense was able to have sustained success was the RPO with Jackson Dart. So it was a cheap way to overcome the other areas of deficiency and forget that you need to build the other things around the football team to be better, because this boy, abusing him is not sustainable. Using him in the right spots is and can be very successful. The Giants had no choice but to abuse him. I don't think Gruden would have done that. Also, they shouldn't be in the spot in year four as an organization where it's all about the RPO with the young quarterback.
Now, that last part that you just said is obviously true, and that's a big problem. Now, a lot of times, guys, the RPO, like for somebody like Jalen Hurts, who was a second-round pick, and when he was drafted, we were like, what? At least I know I was. I'm like, why would they do that? When some of these young players, you do the RPOs because it accelerates their ability to at least exist and then maybe eventually flourish in the NFL with complex schemes. They can't
build
read defense.
Off of it.
100%. Like, you look at the database or their portfolio of talents, especially if you're drafted by a bad team with a dearth of weapons, that's one way to help them assimilate to the NFL. I just, again, I love what Gruden said, and I 100% agree as a concept, but when you're a competitive person and you're trying to coach and you hear all the noise and he's getting crushed on the radio and Giants aren't winning and it's year four. I'm not saying, like, if Gruden was in Dable's shoes, there is nobody that can convince me that he's not going to use him a little bit. Now, maybe the difference would have been he would get him to be less reckless, maybe a little bit more than Dable was able to. He did take a couple of shots to the shoulder this year that I thought were unnecessary. And I think maybe Gruden would have cracked through there. But to think that he's not going to utilize him to his strength is ridiculous. He would have done the same thing.
No, but I don't think that he would have done it to that extent. It doesn't mean that he wouldn't have gotten hurt. It's part of his game. He's going to have to run at some point. But I think Gruden preemptively would have made sure that they're not reliant on the RPO the way that the Giants are now.
I get that. And not to go in circles, all I'm saying is when there's no other way to score, when Scatabooz scraped off the field and Neighbors is, you know, has ice and his leg is wrapped up because he just had surgery 2 weeks ago, and you can't move the football unless your quarterback does something, the temptation to go against what you say now, it increases. That's all I'm saying.
Tom is calling from Poughkeepsie. What's up, Tom?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Jackson Dart feels like whoever is coaching him is going to be successful coaching him. And because it's not necessarily about the coach, it's about him as a player. There are certain guys, and this is regardless of position, but it's particularly obvious when it's at quarterback. There's certain players that are going to thrive no matter what system they're in. Baker Mayfield is one. Matt Stafford is another. Think about what he did when he was in Detroit, and now it's completely different what he's doing out in Sean McVay's system with the Raiders. He's going to thrive, and I think Jackson Dart has that mentality because he's such a gamer. As soon as he figures out how to take contact and not get, you know, turn the ball over by getting hit. By the way, that was Wandell Robinson's fault. And we'll get to it at some point when we start breaking down some of the plays in this game. But ultimately, I think Jackson Dart being coach proof, if that makes sense, gave license to not have to rely on Dave being his shepherd for the next year or whatever future determination you had.
You're right. And I think most Giant fans who were worried about that over the last few weeks moved away from you can't fire Brian Daboll because of Jackson Dart.
Right.
But I read this statement from the New York Giants, and I have a very important follow-up question. And this follow-up question, I think, is going to be echoed by Giant fans all over the place. And that is, they say the past few seasons have been nothing short of disappointing, and we have not met expectations for this franchise. We understand the frustrations of our fans, and we will work to deliver a significantly improved product. Great sentence. We all agree with that.
Right.
The follow-up question is, how is the general manager still employed? Now, if the answer is, we may do that at the end of the year, kind of like what the Jets did. They fired the head coach and then weeks later fired the general manager. Okay. But I think right now the Giant fan sees this and says, hey, we agree with the decision to remove Brian Daboll. What about Joe Shane? Because all of those disappointments that this statement talks about and all the disappointments we've talked about also involve,
of course,
Joe Shane, who picked the players.
Right. It's the players, it's the guys that he kept, the ones that he didn't. And all of those decisions are, I don't want to say they're completely symbiotic, but they're kind of related. And, you know, when Dave's is suffering through a 3-14 season because every backup is barely a rosterable player, is that on Dave's or is that on the general manager? And you started to see a little bit of that this year when the secondary gets beat up and guys become unavailable. Is that on Shane Bowen or is that on Joe Shane? Joe Shane shouldn't escape scrutiny. He keeps his job and it is what it is, and you have to support him and push him forward because there's an entire staff that exists around Joe Shane that you can't just pull him out and then someone else just steps into that role. And so I get why you keep it, even though he also deserves a similar amount of scrutiny as Brian Daboll got.
Well, if you want to tell me, and no one's saying anything, so I can just surmise, if you want to tell me, though, hey, we're still evaluating the general manager, fine. Mm. But if he ends up surviving all of this, and let's say the Giants don't win another game, and they finish the year 2-15,
yeah, well,
how does he survive that?
It's an easy reason why.
Why?
Because if you don't put support behind the man that is going to lead the coaching search, mm-hmm. if you are a coach, why would you come here? You know what I mean?
What do you mean by that?
So Joe Shane's going to hire you, and the Giants say, you know what? Joe Shane's going to hire you, but we're going to fire him in a month or 2 months. What coach is going to say, oh, yeah, I want to do that. Yeah. I now as head coach have to work with a new general manager. It doesn't logistically make sense to fire your GM if he's going to hire the new head coach.
Well, and he is, because here's more on that statement. So there's more from the Giants statement that was released in the last 5 minutes. Joe Shane remains in his position as general manager and will lead the search for a new head coach. We feel like Joe has assembled a good young nucleus of talent, and we look forward to its development, said Mara. Unfortunately, the results over the past 3 years have not been what any of us wanted. We take full responsibility for those results and look forward to the kind of success our fans expect. This is from Tish. Mm-hmm. These are difficult decisions, and John and I do not take them lightly, but we feel like this is the right thing to do at this time and will allow us to move forward. So that is them saying he is the general manager.
Of course he is.
Nothing can change over these final 7 weeks, and I would just disagree with that. Like, is that really the healthy way you want to continue? Plus, as you have even said many times, he's responsible
for
a lot of the mistakes.
But ultimately, the talent on this team is good enough to win games. I've said this multiple times. This isn't like the last few years where it was this is less than professional what we're seeing on the field. The talent is there. I think the closeness of the game shows you that. It's hard to win it in the NFL, but it's moments and it's situations and it's game management. It's decisions that determine who wins or loses football games, and the Giants haven't been good enough in that regard. But they do have a talented team. We know this. Brian Burns is a good player. Dexter Lawrence is a good player. Kayvon Thibodeaux, even though he's banged up and not sure how he's playing with that jacked up arm that he has, or maybe it's something else, he's a good player. Abdul Carter's young, he's a rookie, and he got manhandled this past weekend, but he's going to be a good player. Same thing with Jackson Dart and his offensive line, Andrew Thomas, and some of those other pieces up there. Schlotman actually played okay. I feel like this team has talent, and they can win these games. But they're losing them, and somebody has to take the blame. Somebody has to be the fall guy. And unfortunately, the head coach is often that player.
He usually is. He usually is. And it's funny, they just played the Chicago Bears, and I mentioned this on Friday, how the Bears followed a similar line where mm-hmm. they hired a general manager. That general manager, Ryan Poles, hired a head coach, Matt Eberflus. That general manager then fired the head coach,
right.
Kept his job, hired a new head coach in Ben Johnson, who he had a history with.
And they're 6-3.
And I don't know how I would have felt in Chicago. I'm not sure. I just know how I feel now as an IFO. I wouldn't do it this way. Because I get your point that they have enough talent. They should have won a few of these games, because you're right. I mean, they had three games this year in which they had a 90% chance of winning in the final few minutes. Like, they should have won those games. I can't even argue that.
Right.
So with better coaching, should they be better than 2-8? Yes, I agree with you. But I also look at the roster and say, he's been here for 4 years. It's mm-hmm. like a president. You get your full term.
Yeah.
Are they really that much better off than they were 4 years earlier? And I don't feel strongly enough. So, like, I would not reelect this general manager if he ran on, this is what I've done. Yeah. These are the results. I'd have a tough time doing that. And the other thing I wonder about, and I wonder about this, is when Joe Shane leads the search, is it almost less appealing? Because people looking at the job are going to say, I don't know how safe you are. They just gave you 4 years. You guys have won nothing.
Well,
I want this job where you're not even safe?
I think a lot of that's going to depend on which head coach we're talking about. Who's going to be the next head coach? Is it going to be a young, inexperienced head coach, or is it going to be a veteran who knows how the process works in the front office? And if it's that latter person, they're going to say, I don't really care. Joe Shane, give me good players. If not, and you get fired, guess what? I'll be fine because I know this process. And so I think there's nuance here. So much of this head coaching search is going to be about not repeating the mistakes of the immediate, really, it's not even immediate, it's long-term past, the post-Tom Coughlin past, and creating something that is not only productive, but consistent and stable. It's been a long time since the Giants have had that. Long time. They had two really, and Fossil was quasi-stable because he was here for a while, but it's seven years to be exact, but it always felt like it was turmoil, whereas Tom Coughlin, it was stable. You won consistently. You won championships. The Giants need to go back to that model.
No, and it's the definition of unstable, because since the end of the Tom Coughlin era, you're talking about Tom Coughlin, Ben McAdoo, Steve Spagnuolo, Pat Shurmur, Joe Judge, Brian Daboll, and coming up on Sunday, Mike Kafka. That's seven head coaches in basically a decade. That is the definition of unstable. We'll get to your calls next. A big day in Giantland. Brian Daboll is gone.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I know I shouldn't be surprised by anything in the NFL, but I really was shocked at the loss that the Buffalo Bills had at the hands of the Miami Dolphins. And I know that Miami plays them tough generally and down there especially, but it just felt to me like the Bills this season, with the pressure on them and this needing to be their year to come out of the AFC, and this Dolphins team that had essentially raised the white flag weeks ago, and then they trade away Jalen Phillips. I mean, they'd made a bunch of trades on the defense. They're not showing up to meetings with Mike McDaniel, all of the things we've talked about. And then for the Bills to get just walloped in this game, they had no chance. I mean, they couldn't score a point against one of the worst defenses in the NFL for, you know, whatever it was. It was 16-0 for a majority of the game. So that was really disappointing. If I were a Buffalo Bills fan, I'd be worried now, because you're looking at the Chiefs getting hot. You're looking at the Ravens getting hot. And, you know, we talk about the trade deadline. How did they not acquire a wide receiver when
they tried to get one. I know that, and they don't have a lot of room within the salary cap space, but supposedly, according to reports now, after the trade deadline is over, that the Bills tried to acquire Jalen Waddle from the Dolphins and also Quinnen Williams from the Jets, and neither team wanted to trade within the division.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's no shock, right?
No.
Yeah, I mean, so, but, you know, other guys were out there and available. Jacoby Myers was available. There was another wide receiver that was traded at the deadline, so I mean, I don't know.
You give up 180 yards on the ground. That's more defensive effort than it is offense. You know, and Josh is so good that when he plays at the top of his game, he can camouflage whatever weaknesses they may have. But, you know, their defense has played well in games. There's no question about that. But, you know, they played really well against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. This is, as my buddy Mike Valenti would tell me on a Saturday morning, this is a Geo letdown spot.
Yeah, and it exactly happened. I mean, I just didn't think it was possible for them to have a letdown spot with where the Miami Dolphins were with their organization.
And that's kind of what's so impressive about what the Patriots are doing.
Yeah.
Like, they've beaten all the teams. Now, they have one of the easiest schedules left, but they're beating the teams they're supposed to be beating. And yesterday in Tampa Bay, you're playing against a really competitive Baker Mayfield, and Tampa Bay Bucks defense is competitive. Drake May statistically didn't have one of his better games, but he made plays, big plays. And all of a sudden, for the Patriots yesterday, a rookie wide receiver and a rookie running back showed up. And they had huge plays. And both of those guys are like 4-4, 4-3 guys.
Yeah.
And you could see the speed on the field once they got the ball in their hands and how they just basically pulled away from everybody. So good. The Patriots are trending in the right direction ridiculously right now. And they are getting contributions from everybody, solid defense, great coaching, great offensive coordinator, young quarterback who's buying into everything the quarterback's telling them. And they're the team right now, for me anyway, that in the AFC, if it were to end right now. They to me are the best balanced team in the AFC right now.
Yeah, really impressive yesterday. Every one of my picks were horrible. That was one of them, was the Bucs. I really thought that they would defend their home turf there, and this might have been a letdown spot for the Patriots. Instead, Drake May, Mike Vrabel, Pat's defense, everything just went down there and slapped them around. All right, let's go to James in Bayville, New Jersey. What's going on, James?
Hey, guys. Just two quick questions real quick. I wanted to pick your brain. You were talking about Abdul Carter standing there for a couple of plays. How much of this do you think these players are just going through the motions instead of actually doing what they're supposed to be doing? Because they know this organization, it's a sinking ship right now. They know this coaching staff won't be here next season. How much of it is that these guys are just kind of like, it's a lost season and they're making business decisions? And also with that in mind, who do you guys think, I mean, this whole coaching staff has got to be gone. Who do you guys think is going to be the next head coach?
Yeah, it's, well, like, that's the, you know, the $100 million question right there. I will say this. It's kind of interesting that after the Dolphins traded away a couple players and the Jets traded away a couple players, that all of a sudden their team comes out and plays their asses off. Now, there is a message being sent that, you know, not everybody is safe around here. Not that everybody would want to stay here, but nobody wants to, you know, once you're kind of done with it, I mean, like, wouldn't the Giants, after a while, just say enough with the Deontay Banks stuff? Well, just cut them, yeah. Get rid of them.
I mean, but that's...
I mean, at this point, I mean, maybe they just need bodies, I'm not sure, and maybe they see something we don't see.
But once again, this guy was a high draft pick for the GM that's still there.
I know.
And this is why, you know, and they already have Evan Neal, who is deactivated every week. He was a high draft pick. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau, you said, was very, very active yesterday, but still couldn't get the job done. You know, so there's been a bunch of these guys that, you know, Joe Shane, if he gets rid of them, it makes him look even worse. So, all right, a couple of things what the caller said. I don't think that the Giants are making business decisions at the end of the game. This team and that defense played its ass off for three quarters plus. I really do think that the air just went out of them when Jackson Dart left the game. That is a big part of it. Just like the Giants defense started looking better when Jackson Dart was the starter, there really is something to that, even though he's on the offense and they're on the defense. It's just an energy around the team. As far as the next head coach, one thing that for sure is a fact is that the Giants, even though they've been miserable the last number of years, still have a ton of respect throughout the NFL community. And they've got the quarterback in place.
Oh, it's going to be a really, really attractive job for somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. So this isn't one of those, who's going to take that job? You got to hire some 34-year-old passing coordinator or something. No.
There may be only the one job that, if in fact it does happen, and it's kind of trending that way. You just got to see how the team is going to finish the season, you know, and whether or not the quarterback wants to keep the coach. And I would hope that he would, but that may not be the case, would be the Cincinnati job.
Yes. Yeah, another one.
That could be a very interesting thing to see what happens with Zach Taylor. But, you know, that defense is just absolutely a sieve. I don't know what else. I don't know how else you would describe it.
Allie and Mayapak, what's going on, Allie?
Hey, good morning, guys. First time calling in. You guys really have the off-the-chart best morning show out there.
Oh, thanks, Allie. Well, appreciate
you.
That.
Allie, really? Good job. You can call in anytime then.
Thanks, guys. Also, just want to give you a shout-out for always supporting the NYPD. It's very much appreciated. Thank you so much. And I just want to talk about the Giants. Being a long-time diehard fan that's watched them for years, every single play, even when it's miserable, kind of on the same lines as that last player, but, I mean, I don't think people are giving up. But as a pro boomer, what do you think about the schemes that these guys are running? Because I don't even think just on the defensive side, but even on the offensive side, like, it's so frustrating sometimes to watch them. They get in the run zone, in the red zone, and they're like, run, run, pass, run, run. It's like the same, like, I'm a layperson, and I'm looking at this, and I know what they're doing. Like, and then we have these two tight ends who, like, can we get somebody that can catch the ball in a 50-50 situation?
Yeah,
it's
well,
so
I mean,
frustrating.
I mean, Allie, you know, they're missing their best offensive player, Malik Nabers, and that does, you know, put the, you know, the kind of spotlight on everybody else. Now, Darius Slayton showed up and played reasonably well yesterday, but there have been games where he's dropped balls. And, you know, that's what you're playing with. And that's what, and that's why we all believe, and that's why I believe Jackson Dart is going to be a really great player, because he's taken this group of players, which are NFL players for sure, but they're not premier NFL players, and he's making them better by being out there. Like his performance, both on the ground and through the air, is making those players better. He throws a very accurate and a very catchable ball. The thing about it is, when I think about the Giants this year, they lost to New Orleans. That was New Orleans' first win. They go to Denver. They collapse in the fourth quarter. They get hammered by Philadelphia the second time around. That game wasn't even close. San Francisco came in here and beat them pretty damn good. And then, of course, now you have the Bears situation. So when I think of Denver and the Bears, I think of quarterbacks running around and making plays in the fourth quarter where the defense basically, you know, just fell apart. And I could hear it in Brian Daboll's voice when he's talking about Caleb Williams making plays yesterday. Like, the defense just let this kid do some playground stuff on the field, and they couldn't stop him.
It's going to be very difficult for the Giants to win any of their next three games, even if Jackson Dart is healthy. So now you're talking about 2-9, 2-10, 2-11, and then going into the bye with four games after that. I mean, maybe they're thinking, if we're going to make a move, 2-11 going into a bye might be the time to do it, as opposed to this morning. I don't know.
And that's a Monday night game, I think, right? And then a Monday night game that won at New England?
Yeah.
Yep. Oof.
Let's go to Conrad Cherry Hill. What's going on, Conrad?
Hey, good morning, gents. Great show, as always. I would like to make 2 points. One for the GM as to why he should be fired, and I hope he gets fired, and Brian Daboll. And I love Daboll as a offensive coordinator, but as a head coach, I think he's failed. And I'll start with the GM. I'll say Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, Xavier McKinney. These are three players that we had that we let go that are doing great things in other teams.
No, did you whatever let them go? You got nothing in return for them.
And we got nothing. Well, exactly. We've got nothing in return for them.
Right.
But we lost Saquon Barkley for $1.5 million. That's all I have to say. And that's on the GM. We drafted Banks. We drafted Neal. That's all on the GM. Now, with Daboll, yesterday you watched this game, and it's a clear example to why, to me, that he's lost it. And he gets paid to do these little things that he's not doing during the game. You have a chance to go up by 2 touchdowns. You kick a field goal. You get the defense on the other side with a guy that's on the field. So they have 12 men, and that's a penalty. You don't take the penalty. You don't take the penalty to get you halfway to the at the halfway mark on the goal line.
You would have been you would have been a foot and a half away from the goal line, fourth and goal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now you don't do that. You go on and you would have been up by 14 points instead of 10. You go.
Assuming they make it, Conrad.
Assuming they make it.
Yes.
Assuming they make it. You run dart when you are up by 10, when you should have been up by 14. You run dart on that play. To me, this is not, I understand dart. He has to slide. He has to do certain things. But that play, he couldn't slide. Okay, that was a design play that they call. When you up at that time, you shouldn't have not been calling. So he's hurt. That's because of the coach. I'll say the last point. You have, it's fourth and whatever it was. You have 2 timeouts at the end of the game. It's clear you can see that the offensive line and the team is, the play is not going their way it's supposed to be called. They don't have it all together. Why you don't call a timeout? You call a timeout at that time. You say, hey, guys, this is the last play. Let's get it together, okay? Let's not snap the ball where linemen is running all over the place trying to get settled on the last play, and you have 2 timeouts with 40-something seconds to go. So to me, that's the problem with Daboll. He is not earning his paycheck during the game day. He does not manage the game well. When he's supposed to call a timeout, he doesn't call the timeout, even in the first half before they go into the half. He was supposed to call a timeout at 1:48 seconds. He drained 20, 30 seconds off. We end up calling a timeout at 1:18.
Now, yeah, Conrad, no, I appreciate it. That was almost like an Omar in Brooklyn call where it started off.
It was so, you could tell.
So calm, you know, just a couple of points. And at the end, you didn't call a timeout at 1.48 seconds to go on the clock.
All right. I mean, these guys
are passionate. He's smart. He loves his team. I get it. I mean,
But he is the voice of the Giant fan right now.
Yep.
I'm not saying he speaks for all Giant fans, but you can hear the frustration in his voice. You can hear the disgust in his voice.
The guy who's watching every snap every week.
Yes, yes. And I get it from all my friends who are Giant fans as well. I mean, I don't know. There were a few years ago where, you know, what's his name? Cook was playing quarterback and guys were like, why am I going to this game to watch this? We don't have a chance or whatever. And then didn't they beat the Colts that one game? Like, what? I mean, the team is in games for the most part. I think San Francisco and Philadelphia kind of tore them up pretty good the last two games prior to this one. But prior to that, I mean, they've been in pretty much every game. I mean, when you think about it,
they should be 5-5. I mean, if they didn't blow three unbelievably impossible games to blow, they'd be 5-5.
Right.
I mean, we'd be talking about Brian Daboll probably staying. They'd be right in the mix.
I know, but
in the NFC.
It's the old adage, the old Bill Parcells adage.
Yeah, of course.
You know, your record says what you
are.
You're
sitting here at 2-8 instead, and you got no chance, and the quarterback's hurt. But
it's three years in a row, too. That's the thing. And the quarterback getting hurt again. Yeah. I mean, and again, like a part of his arsenal on the offense, Mike Kafka's offense, is the fact that the quarterback can move and the quarterback can run and the quarterback likes to run and he wants to be a part of the offense that way. And yes, that play he got hurt on yesterday and he fumbled. Yeah, there was no way to slide. That was him trying to get the first down, which he got. And he could have dove, I guess, you know, earlier as opposed to like, you know, kind of exposing his ribs and his upper body to three different guys. But, I mean, that's all part and parcel of a rookie that's really a good player, man. God, also, this kid is really good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's why it's frustrating that he ends up getting hurt. But also, I mean, if that ball doesn't pop out of his hands, that's another situation that I think led to the hit that he ended up taking. You know, if he just holds on to the ball, he probably goes down in a more natural manner. The fact that the ball pops out of his hands, he has to get it, and then he's upright again, and then three defenders around him, and that's what you get.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.